And that's exactly what God is calling us to do, deeper into that love. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. My name is Rick. If you don't know, I also get to be the lead pastor here. And we are so thankful for each and every one of you guys being here today. And this is a special day. This marks a historical moment for our church today. And the reason why is because we are actually live online right now. So we want to welcome our live audience that's watching right now. Yep, we'll give it up for them. I know Justin has been working hard to be able to make this happen, and finally we have found ourselves there, and so this is going to be able to help us to move into micro-sites and multi-site, and we needed this kind of technology to be able to do that, and so we're looking forward to being able to continue to be all across Rhode Island and yet still be one church. So, hey, we are starting a new teaching series, and that's what God's calling us in, deeper love for Him, right? And that's why it's called the Word. This is the Scriptures, the Bible. We're going for the next 7 Sundays, counting today and 6 thereafter. We are looking at this idea. We're going to be talking about this. Today is just the overview, but there's 3 words that go along with the Word. And that is love, learn, and live. And this is so important for us as Christ followers. And if you're not a Christ follower, God is actually calling you. That's part of that deeper call. And then for us who are Christ followers, He's calling you to go deeper yet. And He does that through His Word. So here's a statement that I want to make. I want you to read it, and then we'll talk about it. In a relationship, you have 2 factors that lead to change: loving and learning. Before I talk about relationships, though, I thought of this later, and I thought, you know what? We could take relationship out, and we could just say an object. Because in an object, and this as an illustration purposes, let's just say you love motorcycles. Right? Let's just say you have fallen in love with motorcycles. You see them on 295 and, you know, they're going zooming past you, right? You see them on the backwards. You see them when you go to New Hampshire and you're on the Kangas-Mangas Highway and you're like, oh my goodness, I would lie to be on a bike right now, right? And you're seeing that, and you just have this feel that you love. You think you love motorcycles. And what does that do? That leads you to learning about them. And most of them around here, you see Harleys. My neighbor's got a Harley. And I hear my neighbor leave for work every morning at 1:30 a.m. in the morning. Right? And so he's got a Harley. You can hear him. And his motto is loud pipe saves lives. That's his motto. But the more, so everybody's not wired that way. You can love motorcycles. You may think you love Harleys until you get one and you wake your neighbor up at 1:30 in the morning, right? You may think you love Harleys until you're on a Harley and you're going down the road and you're like, and you are vibrating, man. It's like shakes every bone in your body. And then the more you learn about it, the more you discover the Honda Goldwing. No, that's a bike, baby. That's like a Cadillac. That's like, man, you can ride on that thing. You can start it up and it's quiet. It's shaft driven. It is smooth sailing. I mean, you can hardly tell you are on a bike and you're flying down the road on a Goldwing. Then, you see what happened? You loved motorcycles. You learned a little bit more and it changed. And that's exactly what happens with relationships too. You start loving something, you're drawn towards something, and even if it's just like a friendship, you have that kind of friendship love, and the more that you learn about that person, the more you realize you either love them, or the more you realize, oh, I don't love him, and it leads to change. No, this was true in my life. This had been done to me before. I've told you before, and I know this sounds crazy. I'm not making this up. I'm in first grade, and I'm looking for a wife. I just thought that's what you did. You know, I have no idea. I don't know where I learned this. My parents didn't tell me this. I don't know, but I can remember. You know, all through high school, I'm looking for a wife. I'm in first grade. I'm looking for a wife. Second grade, because I didn't find her in first grade, but in second grade, I'm looking for my wife, and I didn't find her there. Although I dated a few girls in second grade, and then third grade came around, and there was my wife. You know, that her name was Dana. And oh man, I fell in love with Dana. And the more I learned about Dana, the more I loved her. And it changed my view of all the other girls in third grade. And it was going to be just me and Dana for life. I even wrote her a note and told her, it's us for life. And then we went to the school carnival together. And my parents dropped me off and her parents dropped her off. And we walked around the school carnival together. And back in the day, I know this sounds like 1900s, you know, but it wasn't. It was 1900s, but it wasn't the early 1900s, right? So there we are in the school carnival in the gymnasium, and they have a kissing booth. And so I shell out my money to meet Dana in the kissing booth, and we get into the kissing booth, and you know, I give her my little kiss, and then we go on the rest of the night there. And the next day, she realizes, as she learns more about me, she's like, yeah, you're not going to be my husband. You're too serious, man. You're looking for a wife. I'm in third grade. And she changed. So when I was a junior in high school, still looking for my wife, my dad relocates us from Indiana to Rhode Island. And there, as a junior in high school, get new school, getting to know people, I just become friends and start building this friendship with this girl named Zoe Harrison. And Zoe Harrison, the more that I learned about Zoe over the next year and a half, the more I loved her. The more I learned, the more I loved her. And when I went to college in Michigan and she went to college in Florida, the more I loved her. And it changed. It changed my freshman year at college. I wasn't looking for a wife. I already knew who I was going to marry. It changed the way I showed up. It changed my choices. It changed what I would do on campus. Why? Because I had fallen in love. I had learned and felt deeper in love. I had learned some more, felt in love. And it changed how I looked at my freshman year of college, when most people are waiting until then to pick their wife. I already had mine. I was all set. And 32 years later, I'm still learning and I'm still loving more than I ever did a freshman in college. And this can be true in your relationship with God. You can learn more about God and love Him more today than you did last year, and more this year than you're going to, are you going to love Him more next year than you do this year? If you're learning. And as you learn, you love Him deeper. It's kind of like this oxymoron. The apostle Paul put it this way in Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians chapter 3, the apostle Paul tells us, he says, hey, I want you to understand this. I want you to understand the depth. And I want you to understand this about God's love. But then he says this one statement, but you'll never fully understand. It's a lifelong process, just like a marriage is a lifelong commitment. This is what we're to do with the Word. And this is why we've talked about this, when resting the foundation of my life on God's love for me, right? We've talked about resting our life on the foundation of God's love. But how do I, you know, the question is, where do I go from here, or how do I build from there? What do I do? Well, that's where we get into these three words. We love the Word, we learn the Word, and we live the Word. That it actually changes the way that we live, because that's what loving and learning and learning and loving and loving and learning, that's what it does. It brings about change. And you make different choices and you live differently as a result of it. So, here's what I just want us to do. I want us to take our Bibles and go to James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, and we're going to look at a few verses right here. This is going to be our main text today. In James chapter 1, verse number 18 is where we're going to start. So I want you to take your Bibles, because we are loving the Word, right? If we're going to get into the Word, you've got to open your Bibles or open your Bible app. If you're at home, you know, get your Bible out. We want everybody in God's Word, because this is how we learn about God's Word. Some context. Don't forget, James is the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus had brothers and sisters. Jesus' brothers and sisters didn't believe that he was really the Messiah, and neither would you if your older brother told you that he was the Messiah, right? So neither did Jesus's. Until his brothers and sisters watched Jesus be crucified, until they watched him be tortured, they still didn't believe. It wasn't until after the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 7, Paul tells us that Jesus actually showed up to James. And from that point on, James is a changed person. And James becomes one of the leaders in the church, because now here he believes that his older brother really is the Messiah. Now why? Because he saw the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He saw his brother actually come back from the dead. It was that event that changed James' life. Well, now James is this leader in the church. And in the church right now, remember I talked last week about Acts chapter 8 and how the church was being persecuted and it was being spread, you know, they were being scattered. James is writing at that very time period. He's writing to the scattered church as they are being persecuted, as people, as Christ followers who have put their faith in Jesus are being, their lives being taken or put into jail. James says this. He, meaning God chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. Now that's a core gospel statement right there. Did you catch that? God chose to give birth to us, Christ followers, by giving us his true word. Now that this is a core gospel statement, because the Apostle John said this, and so the Word became human and made his home among us. He's talking about Jesus. So Jesus became human, and then he comes down, he lives here on earth, he made his home among us, and he was what? Full. Jesus was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, even to death. And we have seen his glory. John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And John tells us, but to all who believed in him, Jesus, to all who believed in Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Did you hear that? That not every person is actually a child of God. That what you have to do is believe in Jesus as the Savior. You have to accept him into your life by faith, and then you become a child of God. And he says, John, the very next verse says, they are reborn. He uses this idea of being reborn, and we know he's not talking about a physical birth, because he says, not with a physical birth resulting from some human passion on a Friday night, right? Or plan, but a birth that comes from God. We know this is talking about a spiritual birth. And that's exactly, that's what James is talking about. See, that's why James says, and he chose to give birth to us, meaning the spiritual birth, by giving us his true word, the gospel core statement there. And then he says, and we, listen to this. This is mind-blowing. And we, all the Christ followers, we, out of all of his creation, became his prized possession. Think what that means. for the Creator. Think of what that means. I mean, greater than the Grand Canyon. Have you seen the Grand Canyon live? I mean, pictures doesn't do it justice. I was there in high school, and I still can remember the Grand Canyon, and I just think, oh my goodness, what? But did you hear what James said? Out of all of God's creation, we are His prized possession. I've never been to the Amazon forest before, but even over the Amazon forest, God chooses, He picks you, even out of His animal kingdom, the beautiful animals that God has created, even out of them, He still chooses you. And that's why John said this. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. You see, that's real love. And I wonder about you, or those of you online. Are you actually God's child? What He wants you to do is He wants you to trust Him. So what we want you to do, even right here, right now, pull out your phone. Text the word trust to our phone number. If you'll text that word trust, if you're online, pull out your phone right now. If you're in the room, pull out your phone. Text the word trust to 401-496-9710, and that will allow us to get into contact with you and be able to help you to understand how today you too, you online, could become a child of God, that you are valued over all of creation in God's sight. You're special. You're chosen. And He calls you to be His child. Now, James goes on to say this. Because of that core gospel statement, James says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. So we know he's talking to Christ followers here. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, we have to ask ourselves, what does this have to do with the Word? Is this just some random thought that James put in here about, you know, us getting angry? No. It's everything to do with the Word. Have you ever filtered this verse before, Christ follower, in connection to the Word of God? Think about it. If he's telling us that you have to be quick to listen and slow to speak, and don't get angry. As you and I read God's Word, instead of coming there with your predetermined ideas, your predetermined way that you, your worldview, and you enter into Scripture with that, he's saying, hold, don't come with all your preconceived ideas. Don't come with how the culture. And see, this is good for any culture. It doesn't matter if it was 2,000 years ago or today. There's stuff that our culture will tell us that this is okay. Think about relationships. And think about our sexuality. And how God calls us. That our sex life is supposed to be in the bounds of marriage. In the bonds of marriage. And yet the culture doesn't tell us that. And yet the Scriptures would call us to something else. Why? Because there's a better way to live our life. And what happens when we hear that, when we see that, we push against that. We're like, yeah, but that was 2,000 years ago, right? Not today. And what James would tell us is, no, you need to be quick to listen. Just listen. Listen to the principles of God's Word and see how they play out and see if it isn't better for your life and for my life. If we don't live the way that God calls us to live. And see, some people get angry. Some people will read God's Word and be like, no, that can't be true. I mean, we get mad at God because He's called us to live a certain way. Because He tells us that we need to have these principles in our life to live by. And we get angry. And what He says, hey, human anger doesn't produce the righteousness of God. See, that's what God wants to produce in your life and in my life. He wants to produce the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. That's what He's calling us to do. And so, James says, get rid of all that filth and the evil in our lives. humbly accept the word. Did you hear that? Humbly accept the word that God has planted in your hearts. Why? Because it has the power to save your souls. It has the power to allow you to live life differently here on this earth with a different outcome than the outcomes that you see in people who don't live the way that God has called us to live. So, James goes on. As this because if this isn't enough, right? And think about that. Humbly accept. That's the posture that you and I are called to live. And that's why it's so important. Don't be quick to speak. In fact, what you need to be is you need to listen. When you're listening, you're learning. We need to learn. Why? Because it drives us deeper into love. And the deeper in love we go, and the more that we learn, the more different our life will be. So, he says, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. It's just not good enough to say, oh, I went to church today and I listened to the word. Or, I read my Bible. I spent 3.5 minutes reading verses. I'm good. Close up the book and go. Or close your app and go. No. He says, don't just listen. He says, you must do what it says. He says, otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. And then he gives us some examples. He gives us some illustrations. He says this, if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's just like glancing at your face in a mirror. Now stop and think about that. We all know what mirrors are for, right? He says, you see yourself and you walk away and you forget what you look like. We know that that's not how we look in our mirrors, right? We look in our mirrors to see what we are going to reflect to those that we're going to go to school with, those that we're going to go to work with, those that we're going to bump into at Stop and Shop or at Papa's Ice Cream. You know, that's why you look in a mirror before you go out the door. You don't want to bring that, right, to some of those places. Please do something about that. You know what I'm saying, right? That's what James is saying. James is telling us that. So, then he tells us, but if you look carefully into the perfect law, you know what the perfect law is? It's Jesus. Jesus and the way that he lived his life. How are you going to know that? How are you going to know the principles unless you're looking carefully? Do you see that word that James is using there? You look carefully. That means you're going to take some time. That means that this is not open and shut. When I was in college and Zoe was sending me love letters from Florida, oh my goodness, I took my time, man. I was reading one sentence and then I'd reread it and I would think, oh, and then I would smell it too. Did you? Yeah, because it would smell like her. I don't know why, but it smelled like her. I could smell her on the letter, right? I would read it time and time again. And you know, I had a box for the longest time that had all these letters. I wish I still had them today. I don't, because I want to remind Zoe how much she really did love me back then. But I wish I had that box. I don't, but I remember reading every word. And I would read that letter a couple of times, and then I would store it. I would save it up. Why? There's something about hearing from that love letter that I wanted to look carefully into. And do you know that's what the word is? The word is God's love letter to you and I so that we can fall deeper into love. We can learn more about him, fall deeper into love about him, learn more about him, and fall deeper into love with him. That's what the word does. I mean, we should go to those times when we are opening God's word and there should be some excitement. I mean, I remember going to the mailbox in the dormitory, right? And there was the letter. I was hoping I'd go with anticipation, baby. Couldn't wait until I pulled out that letter because I know that Zoe was going to write me a letter today and there was going to be one in there for me. Do you look at God's word like that? Do you look... I know that's a little old-fashioned. I'm talking about letter writing. You guys are texting, right? Do you wake up in the morning and look for a love text, right? Are you looking for that love text from that person in the morning? Do you anticipate that?
That's the way that we should go into God's Word. What is it, God, do you have for me today? Can't wait to hear from you. And then you look and you read and you learn and you love. If we're going to carefully look into it, it means that we're going to do some things. That means you've got to read your Bible. Discipleship is hard work. Discipleship means that you've got some work to do on your end. You just can't just like randomly open your Bible and say, oh, I think I'll read here today. Oh, I think I'll read over here today. No, you've got to have a plan. So you got to read your Bible. You got to have a plan. Read through a book. Understand, this means it's going to take time because you're going to study with pen and paper. You say, Rick, this sounds like too much hard work. I've got Netflix to watch. Come on. Love is hard work. Building a relationship is hard work. It takes time. Ask anybody who's married. It's hard work. And it takes time. But it's so worth it. You know, yesterday, I don't even know why I'm going to say this, but yesterday, I'm like on my way here, and I'm like, hey, Zoe, how long are you going to be gone for? Because I want to be at home when you get home. I want to continue to have that kind of relationship in another 32 years with my wife. And I want to have that kind of relationship with Jesus. But it takes work. Oh, let me tell you, our marriage is far from perfect. Ask Zoe. We have our ups and our downs. But there's nobody that I love deeper than my wife. And God calls us into that kind of relationship with Him. So we got to read the Bible. We got to have a plan. We got to study with pen and paper. We got to talk with others about what you're reading. That's why small groups are so important. You heard Maggie say everybody should be in a small group. That's so right. For the next 6 weeks, you could be actually studying God's Word. You should see the workbook that you're going to get. It's free, but there's all kinds of stuff that you are going to have to do. Why? Because we have to be in the Word so that we can love Him more, so that we can actually live differently. We got to memorize verses. And we've got to let the Holy Spirit, we got to let the Holy Spirit bring change in how we live. When we approach our time with God, I am forever saying, Holy Spirit, show me what I need to change. Holy Spirit, show me, teach me, be my teacher. That's who the Holy Spirit is. That's one of His roles, is to be our teacher. Ask Him to teach you as you open up the book. So back to the scripture, it says, if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free. Did you hear that? That's what the scripture says. You heard last week from Al Messier up here of how he has been set free from his addiction. How did he break that bondage? It was through the power of God, God helping him and surrounding himself with other people that he was able to talk out to. You heard him say that. I'm not making this up. You heard him say it. It was my small group taught me how to study the Bible. My small group helped me to understand the scriptures. That's why having other people is so important in your life. It will set you free. And if you do what it says, don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Do you see? You see the blessing in Al's life? He's been set free. He's living differently. His marriage is different. His work is different. His outview on life is different. Why? Because he's been set free. And this can happen to you as well. And James doesn't stop there. He says, if you claim to be religious, he says, and don't control your tongue, you're only fooling yourself. Your religion is worthless. You know what he's saying there? If you are one of those people who show up, if you're one of those people who just say, oh, I read the word for 2 minutes, and then your life is still the same, what he's saying here is that that's not bringing life transformation to your life. You're not capturing the full deal. You're not living this transformed life, what God wants to do in your life. He goes on to say, as if that's not enough, he says, pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring. Do you see the action? Do you see the change? It means caring for orphans and widows in their distress. It means that you, as you read the Word, as you love Him, as you learn more about Him, and as that cycle continues in your life, it means that you actually change the way you view people. It means that you'll view people differently, those who are in distress. And here, he spells out very clearly, it means you're going to look at orphans and widows differently. You're going to look at people who are in need differently. Why? Because that's what God's Word does in us. Why? Because we're resting on the foundation of the way that God loved us unconditionally, no strings attached. You don't deserve it. We didn't earn it, right? It was just the way that God loved us, and then he let you love other people like that. Loving the Word, learning the Word leads to living a changed life. Let's take our connection card and look at this. The very first next step. It says, I need to commit to love, learn, and live God's Word so transforming change can happen in my life. Please pray for me. I hope that every one of us, me included, I hope that you will commit to this, that you will commit to loving, that you will commit to learning, which leads to this cycle of life transformation. And we want to pray for you. Let us know on your connection card if you're here. If you're online, there's a connection card you can fill out. Or you can just text the word PRAY to that same phone number, 401-496-9710. Text the word PRAY and let us know, just in there, in that prayer. Just say, Rick, pray for me. I want to love, learn, and live God's Word. And this week, our team will gather and we will pray that this will happen in your life and that life transformation will come. And if you're not connected yet to some type of a smaller group, this is a step that you need to take. Will you commit to finding one of these 40 days in the Word small groups that are happening? If you're in this room on your way out, there'll be a table under the portico. Go right to the table and say, hey, just connect me to a small group. I need to be connected into a small group. If you are online, just text the word groups to that same phone number, 401-496-9710. And that will put us in contact with you. They will reach out and help you get connected into a small group. This is so important in our loving and learning and living it out, that we all are connected in some way. We're going to respond to this through a song about who Jesus is, because he is that Word. You know, the song is his beautiful name. Think about that. Think all that his name encapsulates. There is no greater name than this. I'm going to ask you to stand, and while you're standing, I'm going to pray for us. Father, we're asking that you would work, that you would move, that you would do what only you can do in our lives. And that, God, that in all of our lives, in my life, in every person who's watching live or watching it later on demand, every person who's in this room, we are praying that we will commit to loving your Word, that we will commit to learning it, taking the time, stop watching so much Netflix. And God, that we would spend more time reading and getting to know you. And then that we would actually live a transformed life. God, come and do this in our lives, we pray. We plead with you to do this kind of work, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.